Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Bethley and I are certainly happy that you've joined us today for this new series entitled Investing in Your Marriage. As you know, marriage takes a lot of work, and any investment you can give to your marriage will pay off. So join us today, and let's begin this conversation. Bethany and I are going to start a series today about investing in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk with you about in the coming weeks, but today we're going to just start very simply with a discussion about our roles and responsibilities in our marriage. Mm-hmm. Really, yes. We've kind of divided into probably three different overall themes: responsibilities, mm-hmm. and romance, and relationships.
Yes.
I think mm-hmm. the order we will do them is actually switching relationships prior to the romance and do
probably.
The romance last.
Probably, yes.
But some of this will spill over into each other. They'll have a little bit of overlap here and there. Mm-hmm. But we want to talk to you today about our unique responsibilities in our marriage. Mm. And these are foundational to
absolutely.
Everything else.
Yes.
If we are not meeting the responsibilities, then we're not going to want to be best friends.
And we're not going to want to have relationship, or definitely not romance.
No romance. That's
right.
Absolutely true. So mm-hmm. we're going to talk about investing in your marriage.
Sounds like a lot of money.
Yes. An investment is a deposit with an expected return. Hmm. It's putting all of my efforts into my marriage. It's saying, you know what, I'm going to work on this, because if I do, it'll help our marriage to be what it's supposed to be.
Right. And an investment would give the idea of something being worth it. If you're going to give sure. time or money to something, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And definitely marriage would be.
Most of the time we use the word investment in like the idea of the putting money to work. Mm-hmm. We're starting a business, or we're purchasing an asset.
Right.
It's oriented toward future returns. One of the definitions I looked up says it even entails some degree of risk. Now, they're talking finances there.
Right.
But in a sense, there is some degree of risk, because a marriage is two people.
It is.
And if one invests and the other one doesn't, then there can be challenges there. That does happen.
A lot of hurt.
And certainly. But we're talking about no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in your marriage, we just want to talk to you about you making the effort, you putting deposits into your marriage with an expected return. And God's word does teach us this, that
right.
we can have an expected return.
Right.
So let's just start right up. Let's just jump right into this part one, our unique responsibilities. And I would say it to you like this: one of the great ways to invest in your marriage involves embracing and fulfilling your roles and responsibilities as laid out very simply and yet very clearly in the word of God.
Yes.
It is simple. It is clear. It takes a lifetime.
Right.
And because it takes a lifetime, it is not something that you accomplish overnight. Mm. This is an ongoing matter. So in a lifetime of marriage, if you're married for 20 years or 30 years or 50 years, or as the couple I met last week in Tennessee, 67 years.
Wow.
If you're married that long, a happy, successful marriage starts with each of us, me as the husband, Bethley as the wife, and each of you in your respective roles there, meeting the responsibilities as laid out in the Word of God.
Right.
And it all begins with the passage in Ephesians 5. Nobody can do a lot biblically on marriage and family
right.
without moving into the book of Ephesians.
Absolutely.
So let's just read here a little bit together. I'll read for a few moments, and I'll read about the husbands. I'll get us started, then Bethel, you read about the wives, and
okay.
then I'll pick up in verse 25. Verse 21 begins with submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
And then the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And then here's some important verses. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Mm. He speaks right there of the very unique matter of marriage. It's a new relationship, mm-hmm. has new responsibilities, mm-hmm. it has new roles. Even speaks of the permanence right there. Right. He says they two shall be one. They're no longer unique entities. They are now one.
Right.
My dad used to say, kids, if your mom ever leaves me, I'm going with her. And I think he was just letting us know that their plan, their goal, their aim was our marriage is going to last.
Right.
And Bethany and I have that goal as well. We know that marriages can have trouble and can fall apart, as evidenced in the society we live in. Mm-hmm. But God's right here is letting us know that that's not his plan.
Right.
He wants our marriages to work. So verse 33 then says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And
the wife see that she reverence her husband.
So let's divide it into two parts. We'll start today, gentlemen, with you. Let's talk about the husbands today.
It's a good place to start.
I knew you would think so. Husbands, the single greatest way to invest in your marriage is to fulfill your God-given roles and responsibilities. Hmm. Three words sum up the teaching in God's word. The first one is the word love. The second one is the word lead. Mm-hmm. And the third one is the word understand. Mm-hmm. You can put it into a sentence like this. A husband should invest in his marriage by his loving, understanding leadership. Mm. Read for us 1 Peter 3:7, sweetheart.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Notice there's something spiritual going on here. The Ephesians 5 passage says we're to love the way Christ loves the church, we men. Mm-hmm. And it says we are to be the head of our wives as Christ is the head of the church. Mm-hmm. So it's a very spiritual matter going on here, very deeply spiritual. Our roles and responsibilities are practical. We're going to talk about that.
Yes.
But we're Christians. And as believers, we have a spiritual side to our marriages that is very different than what the world might think of.
So are you saying that even an unsaved couple could take these principles and that they would be able to work
absolutely
in their marriage?
Absolutely.
Yes, because they're practical.
Because God designed the world to work in
right.
a certain way.
Okay.
Even an unsaved mm-hmm. person who waters his plants can raise a garden.
That's very true.
And feed his family. Mm-hmm. And so they're very practical here. God says to anybody, if you'll love your spouse mm-hmm. as a husband, you've got to love her. Mm-hmm. And if you'll understand her and you will lead, you'll be the leader, you'll take the initiative. We'll talk about what these means here in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, it goes beyond just those responsibilities.
Right.
Because we have the Bible. Mm-hmm. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we have the church to help us. And we have mm-hmm. how many books have been written today on these subjects?
Hundreds.
And so there's no excuse for us as men not doing well and fulfilling our God-given responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to invest in your marriage,
right?
If you're going to invest in your marriage, husbands, let's start with you. You have three responsibilities. And the first one is summed up in the word love. Now, in mm-hmm. this passage in Ephesians, it's the word agape, which is really the word that's most often used to describe God's love for us. Mm. It's unconditional. I like to think of agape as an unconditional care for the well-being of another. Mm. So some man may be listening to me right now, and you're a husband, and you're thinking, well, you know, my wife is not whatever, whatever, whatever. List the negative. But God doesn't look at us and say, you know what, if you were worthy, I would love you. Mm. He loves us unconditionally. Mm. He loves us when we don't deserve to be loved. He loves us when we were unlovable. Mm. The Bible says it in Romans, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, mm-hmm. Christ died for us.
Yeah.
So love is where we start, and it's primary because it is the way we are to lead, meaning that I'm to love Bethany Joy because that tempers my leadership in our marriage is tempered by love. Mm. It makes it Christ-like. But some guys get this idea that, you know, I got to take over and be the big dog leader here. Mm. It's not a redneck mentality. It's not, hey, woman, I'm in charge here. That won't work. And if you're going to be that way, be sure you're ready to meet Jesus because she may kill you in your sleep. But it is primary because I'm to lead. I'm to temper my leadership when I'm in my relationship to Bethly. Everything I do is to be based on an unconditional love for her.
Yes, it makes it very easy to follow.
That's the leadership. Second thing there. Yes. And that's why it's primary for you as a husband to lead, because she has to follow you. Mm-hmm. And most of us men would not want to follow ourselves, but our wives mm-hmm. are commanded by God. And the more loving that I am, the easier it is for Bethley to follow me. Mm-hmm. And God wants it to be easy. You remember the passage? Sometimes people balk at that idea. Christianity is hard. But when Christianity is hard, it probably means something is wrong spiritually.
Right.
Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you," and here's what you'll find. My yoke is
easy
and my burden is light. Mm-hmm. So four ways, husbands, I'd challenge you about loving your wife. Number one, remember, it has to be said. Sometimes in our busy world, we assume.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to say it. Say, "I love you. I love you. I love you."
Say it.
"I love you."
Write it.
Say it.
Leave a note. Send a text.
Text it. Yes, it has to be said.
Don't end a phone conversation without "love you."
Yeah, don't go to work without saying "I love you."
Yes.
Don't get out of the car and run into the store without saying "I love you." be overboard as much as you can be about this.
Right.
Say it a lot. Words are powerful.
They are.
Bethley reminded me this morning when we were walking our morning exercise of the passage in Proverbs that the power, let's see, how does that go? Proverbs 18, 12.
Proverbs 12, 18.
12, 18, there I had it backwards.
Is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health.
So our tongues can bring healing. And one of the ways we bring healing to the hurts, challenges, pressures, difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Stressful days.
Is with our words.
Yes.
And "I love you" is important.
It is.
It brings peace to our hearts to know that we're loved. It has to be said. It has to be shown.
Right. If you're saying it all the time, but you're not acting on that,
then
that's
difficult.
Yeah, it
has to be shown. So talk for a moment here, sweetheart, as from the perspective of a wife. Mm. What are some ways a husband can show his wife he loves? Now, every woman is different.
Every woman is different.
And there's a wonderful book called The Five Love Languages that's worth reading.
Yes, it
the
is.
The problem when we read it is that my wife said, "Well, you know, depending on the day, my love language can be different."
Yes, I'm pretty sure that I'm multilingual when it comes to the love languages. And really, sometimes I just want to hear that. I love you.
Probably all of us are.
Yes.
In a sense. There's probably a primary love language or maybe primary one or two love languages. Mm-hmm. But there are different times when, your wife may not necessarily be a gift-giving person in the sense that if you give her a gift, she feels loved.
Right.
But probably on her anniversary, if you ignore it and you don't buy her a gift, she will not feel loved.
That could be problematic.
So it has to be shown.
It does have to be shown, whether it is said or shown with quality time or said with gifts or said with affection. I'm leaving out one of those five love languages. I can't
words
remember.
Of affirmation.
Words of affirmation, showing that you appreciate her. So David shows me that he loves me every day. Certainly he does say it. Certainly there are times where he'll plan a date and he'll say, "Hey, get dressed up. We're going to go somewhere fancy," or even, "Hey, this is just going to be casual. Let's just go out." But I know that he loves me because he is showing it by taking time out of his very busy schedule, not only just to do the date, but to plan the date. That takes time. And when we were younger in our marriage and we had littles everywhere, he would show me every day that he loved me by helping to take care of the children.
Now, life was busy. But I realized early on that two things would happen. If I took time to invest even in our babies, diapers are not the coolest thing in the world, but it is a connection to your child.
Right.
And they love to hear daddy's voice. And when I would bathe them and help get them ready, I exercised most of our married life, and I even bought a jogging stroller, and I would take them jogging with me.
Right.
I bought a backpack. I would carry them, but to get them out of her hair for a little while.
Yeah, so not only is he helping me, and I'm freed up to do some other things, but then he is investing in the children, which is just amazing. And so, I mean, that just shows love all over when you have a dad who loves his children.
You have been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I sure hope you've enjoyed this very first part of this series entitled Investing in Your Marriage. We're looking forward to talking in many days to come about this very subject, and I hope you'll join us for all of them. Next time will be part two, and we look forward to having you with us then. Until then, remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.